We're in a series right now just titled, Live by the Spirit. I believe that the Word of God is tearing down strongholds of old ways of thinking so that we can truly live the life that God has called us to live as a new creation in Christ. In John 1 and 12, it says that when we receive Jesus, when we believe on His name, we have the power to become the children of God. And I want you to know this morning that as the children of God, we're supposed to have a new nature. In fact, in 2 Peter 1:4, it tells us that we have been, that exceeding great and precious promises have been given unto us that we might be partakers of His divine nature. Wow. We need to understand this. Yes, we have an old nature that we got from Adam, but we also have a new nature that we have received from God when we are born again. But living this life, this new life, is not automatic. We have to choose to live by the Spirit. Paul tells us in Galatians 5:16, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. See, this is how you stop living that old life. You got to live by the Spirit. And if we live by the Spirit, then this fruit will be seen in our life. Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We daily choose to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our lives. And as a result, we see this fruit produced in our life. I want to remind you of Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. You see, Christ living in us is not just, you know, this little bitty piece of Christ somewhere deep down in my heart. No, I no longer live. We need to understand this as a Christian, as a child of God. That old person that we were, he no longer lives. She no longer lives anymore. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. And I want to tell you that Christ has all of the fruit of the Spirit. These things, these are all ways that you can describe our Savior. Amen. Because he has love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And if the Savior who lives in you, Christ lives in you, these things are in your life. And we need to walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and allow these things to be produced in our life every day. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is really like a spiritual litmus test to tell us whether or not we're truly a spiritual person. If He's in control of our lives, if the Holy Spirit's in control of our lives, I'm telling you, our lives will produce this fruit. We might like to gauge how spiritual we are by some of the things that we don't do. I don't do this and I don't do that. Or we might like to gauge how spiritual we are by some of the things that we've done. By the way, that just sounds a whole lot like the way the Pharisees were. That's how they tried to show that they were spiritual. We don't do this, we don't do that, and we do this. And then there's people, a lot of people, you know, they think it's about the gifts. It's all about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, if you got the gifts of the Spirit, well, you're really spiritual. That sounds real spiritual, but I got to tell you, the Corinthian church had all kinds of gifts at work in that body of believers. And yet Paul says, I couldn't write to you as unto spiritual. They weren't spiritual at all. He says, but unto carnal, babes in Christ. I'm telling you, the proof of spiritual maturity is when we have the fruit of the Spirit in our life, that we're living by the Spirit. These things will be evident in our life. Now today, we're going to look at kindness. The Spirit will produce this fruit in our life, kindness. In our culture right now, I'm telling you, kindness is taking a beating. It's just kind of slipping away. There's plenty of meanness and malice and cruelty. Even among those who call themselves Christians, it seems like there's a lot of people that it's just become acceptable to be harsh. And we talk about Hollywood and all the immorality in our country and how terrible it is. We don't even realize how much we have slidden in accepting the ways of the world. We need to know, as the people of God, the Holy Spirit produces kindness. He doesn't produce malice and meanness. That's not there. No, it's kindness. This is what he produces in our lives. And I want to tell you that this sets us apart. It is a great witness to the world around us because we're different. And it is a great testimony of a changed life. See, some of us, we were mean and nasty. You think people don't notice the difference when we start being kind? It's never too late. Get started, right? But the evidence of a spiritual life, I will tell you, this is part of it, is that we're kind. Now, one of the synonyms for kind is nice. One Christian lady trying to justify being mean, by the way, anytime you got to justify, you're in sin, all right? But she's trying to justify being mean to someone by saying that, well, we have to be kind, we don't have to be nice. I actually heard this. I heard this person say this. We have to be kind, we don't have to be nice. If you're being mean to someone, you are neither nice or kind or Christ-like. It's amazing how somehow we want to twist the word of God and change the meaning of words and say, you know, oh, well, kind just means, you know, you just say it like it is. That is not a biblical definition of the word that's translated as kind, I want to tell you. We need to understand that if we're going to be true followers of Jesus, this is part of it. We're supposed to be kind. Kindness. It involves action. It can be expressed in our words, but it also shows in our actions and just our demeanor, the way we treat people. We need to ask ourselves, this may make us uncomfortable, but we need to ask ourselves, and as a preacher, I know that, you know, I live in the fishbowl where everybody can see, and you don't need to come tell me, I'm well aware. We need to ask ourselves, would other people say that I am kind? Is this something that we are identified with? We should be. It is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Our Lord is so very kind to us, and we need to remember we are His children, we are partakers of His divine nature. We're born of His Spirit. You know, the Lord is often accused and maligned as being harsh or even cruel. But those who say such things, well, they don't really know Him, because that is not the way that He is at all. He is loving and kind. I'm going to read a whole chapter to you from the Bible, Psalm 117. Let me comfort you with these words. It's the shortest chapter of the Bible. It's also, strangely, the middle chapter of the Bible. It says, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples, for His merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." There it is in the middle of the middle chapter of the Bible. His kindness is great toward us. Many times in the Old Testament, the word kindness is translated as loving kindness. Psalm 63:3 is an example of that. "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you." Some of the modern translations have just gone ahead and changed the word completely just to love, and I think it's being lazy translating, because there's another word that is the word love, and this is a different word. It has to do with how love treats you. The Lord Jesus, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he models this kindness for us in the way that he treats people. Now, you could say a lot of things about it, but when Jesus heals a sick person, some of these people that he healed in the scripture, they had been sick all their entire life. Some of them for decades. I can assure you that it was a great kindness when they were healed. When he forgives the woman caught in the very act of adultery, it's such kindness. When he casts the demons out of the demoniac, this man that had been so horribly bound by Satan, what a kindness it was. You see, our Savior, he was always kind. What in the world, what spiritual significance was there for him, his first miracle, turning the water into wine? I mean, maybe it was in part he honored his mother. It was her request. But I think that the biggest thing is it was just a kindness that he showed to a young couple to keep them from embarrassment. Just kindness. That's our Savior. That's the way our God is. And that's the way he wants us to be. If we allow Jesus to live through us, I tell you, others will see this fruit of kindness in our lives, in the things that we do, the things that we say, and how we treat people. Spiritual people are kind. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. If someone's not kind, I'm going to tell you, there's something lacking in their spiritual life. Spiritual people are kind. In the 1940s, they did a study of 43 American cities. And I'll tell you how they did this study. They had people go out into these cities and they would act like they dropped something, or they would display there was some obvious need. And they judged these cities by how often people stepped in to help. And Rochester, New York, came out as the kindest city in America. Really strange, 50 years later, they did a similar study. And again, Rochester, New York, was shown to be the kindest city in America. Now, somebody, a writer, got a hold of this, and he was like, this is so weird that it's the same city 50 years apart. Why? What is it with this city? And so he got to investigating into the history of Rochester, and it led him back to its earliest days in the 1830s in the midst of what we know or call the Second Great Awakening. There's a preacher named Charles Finney who preached there for 6 months, and hundreds of people came to the Lord and were saved. Their lives were changed. He was not the kind of preacher that said, just pray this prayer. He was the kind of preacher that preached repentance, that you got to turn your life over to God and get right with God. And it changed that culture of that city. Now, I got to be the first to say, if the last time that Rochester had a revival was the 1830s, they're well overdue a new one. But I'm also going to say how amazing that something that happened in the 1830s had so set the tone of that culture. There was still evidence of it in 1990. That's the great impact that it had. And what was notable was the kindness. I want to tell you that kindness can change a city. It can change culture. It can have an impact on many, many, many people's lives. And when many people's lives are impacted, that has a big change. It's treating people Kindness is treating people with the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says that love is kind. It's treating people with the love of God. Jesus said in Luke 6:35, love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. We're sons and daughters, right? This is how we live. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High. For he is kind. He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. Oh, that can just rub our sense of justice the wrong way, right? I think some people just in their selfish arrogance and ignorance, they resent it that God would be kind to the unthankful and the evil. In fact, we'd rather just call down fire on some people like James and John. They said, Lord, you want us to call down fire on them? And you know what Jesus' response was? You don't know what spirit you're of. That's not the Holy Spirit. You see, when we get judgmental and we want to condemn people and we're all angry, we want to be mean or cruel to people, that's not the Holy Spirit. No, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. In fact, those kinds of things are listed as the work of the flesh. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. This is so plainly seen in the Lord Jesus. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus is praying in the garden. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He knew what was about to happen to him. He knew that he was going to be taken away and they would torture him and ultimately crucify him, and he would die this horrible death. He knew what was coming, and he prayed, not my will, but your will be done. And they came. They came with clubs and swords to take him away. And one brave man stepped forward, Peter. He took his sword and he took a swing. He must have been a better fisherman than swordsman, because all he got was an ear. But can you just imagine what this scene was like as he cuts this man's ear off, blood everywhere, and Jesus stops him? The man who lost the ear was Malchus, the servant of the high priest. It's strange to us, but he would not have been allowed in the temple anymore. He would not have been able to continue as the servant of the high priest. But Jesus picks up this man's ear. This man has come to help take him away, to torture him and to crucify him. And Jesus picks up the ear and he puts it back on and he heals the man. What a kindness to an enemy. Can you imagine? This is who our Savior is. The one in whom the Spirit was without measure. And this is who he calls us to be kind, even to the unthankful and the evil. Does he live in us? When we're spirit controlled, we're not just kind to people that deserve it or who have been kind to us. We're kind to everyone. And to do that, I want to tell you, we need to be long-suffering. These are all connected. But sometimes you're going to have to forgive. You're going to have to forbear in order to be kind to someone. Can we be kind to our enemies? Yes, we love our enemies. We can be kind to them. So we just need to put away the judgmental attitudes, you know, where we decide who deserves it. for us to be kind to them. It's amazing how we judge people. One poorly dressed guy, he walked onto this car lot at a Cadillac dealership, and he's got on these old ratty blue jeans and boots with mud all over them, and he's wearing a hunting cap with his hair's sticking out from under it, and he just looks a mess. And the salesmen are all just watching this guy on the car lot, and they're, you know, kind of making fun of this hick, this country bumpkin. And finally, the manager sends the newest salesman, you know, he gets the fun job. He says, "Go get rid of that guy." Well, the salesman goes out there, but instead of just running him off, he decides he's going to be kind to him. And so he answers the guy's questions and walks around all over the lot looking at these cars with him. And finally, this country bumpkin, he says, "Do y'all take cash or check?" He said, the salesman just kind of laughed. He's like, "We'll take either." And he said, "Well, I'll take one of this model in every color you got." And Elvis Presley bought 6 Cadillacs that day. Sometimes it pays to be kind. No, it always pays to be kind. We don't do it for recognition of people. But we know that we reap what we sow. And we know that our Heavenly Father is always watching us to see how His children are behaving. Be kind to everyone. It's just, you know, kindness is not really thought of very highly in our culture. The attitude is, forget about being kind. What's important is who comes out on top. It's okay to be mean and push others out of the way, push somebody else down. The important thing is who wins. Not us. Not us, church. The important thing is whether or not somebody is kind. It is not just who comes out on top. I don't know how we got to the place where that is admired instead of kindness. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:22, what is desired in a man is kindness. This is what we should admire. This is what we should esteem. Someone who is kind. It may not be highly regarded in our culture, but here's the thing. All of us appreciate and like the person who's kind to us personally. We like it personally. Nobody likes to be on the receiving end of meanness and cruelty. We all like kindness to be shown to us personally. Kindness. You know, one of the kindest people I've ever known, and I'm sorry for using him as an example so often, he's just such a good example of these things, but Pastor Harold Nichols, that pastored the church for 50 years, everybody that knew him would say he was kind. That without question, such a kind man. He'd always try to make life a little easier for you. Always had something encouraging, something uplifting to say. I'll never forget one day when I said to him, I said, "I fell." He said, "No, you didn't. You just stumbled a little bit." That's just the way he was. Always kind. Spirit-filled man. And you see how we need that in the body of Christ, that we will all be kind to one another, but we'd also be kind to strangers. We'd also be kind even to the unthankful and the evil. Kindness. Got to use our words to comfort, to heal, to encourage. Instead of belittling, we lift up. The Holy Spirit will lead us to say something kind. It's not enough just to bite your tongue and not say something ugly. No, the Holy Spirit will cause you to say something kind. Proverbs 31 describes a godly woman. In Proverbs 31:26, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. That means that she doesn't say anything unkind. I hear this a lot today, and I get it. You know, I'm kind of a plain-spoken guy myself, but this attitude where we say, well, I'm just telling it like it is. Wrong spirit. Old nature. The new nature speaks with kindness. So many ways that we could show kindness. I remember when I was a Boy Scout, you know, they have this thing that every day you're supposed to do a good deed. What an impact we could have if not just once a day, but at every opportunity, we looked for that way we could be kind to someone. How can I show this person kindness? I want to tell you, that has a real impact. You know, you can be kind. Somebody's trying to, us old people, you know, they're trying to figure out how to work their new phone. You could be kind just by saying, oh yeah, that's hard, let me show you, instead of acting like they're an idiot. Any seniors want to say amen? Amen. Just be kind. You know, on the flip side of that, some of us know how to do a lot of things that young people don't know how to do. Maybe we could be kind. Say, yeah, I remember when I didn't know how to do that, I'll show you. I'm sorry, AJ. He knows. Spirit-produced kindness is one of the most effective ways of sharing the gospel. I tell you, our acts of kindness can really touch people's hearts. So many go about it all wrong. You cannot argue someone into the kingdom. Not many people come to church because they lost an argument, unless it was your spouse. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just doesn't hardly ever happen that somebody came to church because I lost an argument. But being kind can open the door to somebody's life being changed. Jesus was so different from the religious leaders of his day by being kind to the ones that didn't deserve it. The Pharisees were hard and harsh. Now, which one do you want to be? Got to walk in the Spirit. When we are harsh or mean, I'm telling you, that old nature is on display. But when we show kindness, it's evidence of the Spirit at work in our life. I've been around Christians who were rude and harsh, hurtful, didn't care about the feelings of others. Here's the thing, you see, religion without the Spirit will just make you mean and ugly. I had a minister friend, a young man I met with and talked with one day, and he told me about something that had happened where he had met with a leader in their denomination, and this man was real successful, made really good money. And he asked this young pastor, he said, so how's that church treating you? And he said, well, they do the best they can, but we just don't have much money and we're just not hardly making it. And this older man said, well, son, you just got to suck it up. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if that's really exactly how that conversation went down. I just heard one side of it. But what I do know is that young man was hurt and he was resentful. I think that somehow that older minister needed to show that young man kindness in that situation and failed to. And we just need to look at our own life and try to get the harsh out and instead be kind to people. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us because He'll produce kindness in our life. But if you really want to reach people with the gospel, You really want to have an impact on the lives of those around you? I'm telling you, kindness is an absolute necessity. It draws people. That's how the Lord draws people. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul is writing to those who were judging others, and he says, "Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance?" By the way, did you catch the dirty word in there? Tolerance? That's right. Our God is tolerant with us. He is so long-suffering with us. We talked about this last week. That doesn't mean that he tolerates our sin, but he's so tolerant with us that he's so patient with us. And I just want to encourage you with this. It tells us that it is the kindness of God that leads you toward repentance. Why would we try something else? Let's use kindness to help draw people to repentance. Young minister went with his seminary professor on a tour to tour this old church. It was the first, it was the mother church of the First Church of Christ Scientist in downtown Boston. And they got there, and this elderly lady took them on a tour. And on the first floor, she showed them a lot of interesting things. And then when they got to where the organ was, she started talking about their church doctrine. And she started telling them about how that in their church doctrine, there is no judgment in the afterlife. Well, the professor, he just waited for the right moment. And he asked the woman, he said, "Ma'am, doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible that it is appointed once unto a man a time to die, and after that, the judgment?" Of course, he knew what the scripture said. He could have quoted many, many verses to her in that situation. But she just kind of ignored the question and nervously said, "Would y'all like to see the second floor?" And he graciously replied, "Well, yes, that would be wonderful." She's kind of relieved as they headed off to go up the stairs to the second floor. Now, the young minister that was with him, he couldn't help it. He just had to. He tugged on his coat and he said, "Why did you let her get away with that? You should have nailed her right then and there. You should have made her answer your question." And he said to this young minister, he said, "Well, that wouldn't have been very loving, would it?" The young man recorded the story, and in his version of it, 20 minutes later, he saw his professor sitting with that elderly woman, sharing the gospel with her and talking to her about the Lord Jesus as she listened intently. His kindness to her had won him an audience with her. I'm just telling you how we need this kindness in our life. It is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. I personally have found that there's somebody I cross paths with every day I could be kind to, but it seems like sometimes kindness takes time and it's inconvenient. You know, you stop and help somebody on the side of the road, or you're at school and somebody drops their books and you help them pick them up. I mean, it could be a thousand different things, but there's always opportunities for us to be kind if we'll take the time. I just don't think you can be too kind. And I'm stressing to you today, just be extra kind. Go overboard if you can. Did you know that voice teachers tell their students, you have to really emphasize your words. You have to be very careful to pronounce your words clearly, because when you sing, people won't be able to tell what you're singing. It's very true. In fact, before the days, you know, now we have the words up on the screen, and if you can read, you know the words, right? I mean, they're right there. But if you go back a few years before, people used to get the words wrong. That they thought they were singing one thing when they were singing something else, like the old wonderful hymn in the garden. It's Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me. People were like, who's Andy? And then there was, I got peace like a river, and some people thought it was, I got peas in my liver. And then there was a newer song, God is on the move. And they thought they were singing God is on the moon. It just happens. I mean, people learned the words wrong because it wasn't clear what they were saying. And here's what I'm saying to you. Our message is not clear. There's not enough kindness. We need to overemphasize it if you possibly could. How could you overemphasize the great kindness of our God? But we need to emphasize this because people aren't getting it. Our message is not clear. But the Holy Spirit, He produces this kindness in you. But you see, you still have to choose to be led by the Spirit. You still have to choose kindness over meanness. You still have to choose kindness instead of just ignoring people. Oh, this is a thing that we do. Well, we won't do anything bad. We won't be mean to somebody. We're just going to ignore them. It reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan Jesus told about loving your neighbor. By the way, I want to remind you that love, one of the things that the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is kind. It's how you treat somebody. But the priest saw this wounded man on the side of the road. He just goes by on the other side. He just ignored him. The Levite comes by and the same thing. He just ignored him. But then the Good Samaritan comes and he helps the man. Kindness. I'm just telling you, it's not doing nothing. It's doing something. You can't ignore. We just need to be looking for an opportunity to be kind. You know, I talked about how sometimes we think we're too busy. And I feel like I'm in a hurry a lot of the time. And I'll just tell you that sometimes I need to make myself slow down and be kind. You know, it's like I'm holding the door for you. Well, if you're going to walk that slow, get it yourself. I haven't ever done that. I've only thought it, y'all. But it's amazing how when we think we're in a hurry, we think we don't have time to be kind. But, you know, Abraham Lincoln was such a great man. He is the most admired president. But what made him great was not his brain or his brawn, but his character. He was a man of good Christian character. And in spite of his busy schedule during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln would often visit the soldiers in the hospital who were wounded. And one occasion, he visited a young man that was near death. And he asked him, he said, is there anything that I can do for you? And the young man asked him to, he said, would you please write a letter to my mother? The young man didn't recognize who he was talking to. He didn't know that it was the president. But the president sat down and wrote the letter for him. The letter read, my dearest mother, I was badly hurt while doing my duty. I won't recover. Don't sorrow too much for me. May God bless you and Father. Kiss Mary and John for me. He was too weak to go on, so Lincoln finished and signed the letter. And he added a postscript written for your son by Abraham Lincoln. Well, the young soldier asked to see the letter, and he saw who signed it. He said, are you really the president? He said, yes. And then he asked him, he said, is there anything else that I can do for you? Sorry. He said, will you please hold my hand? I think it would help to see me through to the end. And the president held his hand and comforted him until he passed. How in the world did a president have the time to sit and hold this man's hand until he passed? The same way that we have the time to be mean and surly. He just made time. And I want to tell you, we all need to look for those opportunities and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to be kind. At the time that David became king of Israel, it was common that when a new king came into power, they would try to get rid of the former king's family so that they would not try to take the throne back. But that's not what David did. Instead, he wanted to demonstrate a special kindness to someone for the family of Saul, for his friend Jonathan's sake. And 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 3, "Now David said, 'Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?' And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they called him to David, the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' He said, 'At your service.' Then the king said, 'Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?'" Kindness of God. David knew the kindness of God, and he wants to show the kindness of God to somebody for Jonathan, his friend's sake. There's a man named Mephibosheth. He's the son of Jonathan. He's crippled and he has nothing. He's scared about being brought before the king because he knows that most of the time the kings put the previous family to death. In 2 Samuel 9, 7, David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Wow. He restored to him a king's fortune and does him this great kindness, this great honor, that you will eat at my table from now on. Why did he do this? For Jonathan's sake. Who can we show kindness to for Christ's sake? Jesus said, Matthew 25, 35 and 36, "When I was hungry and you fed me, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." This isn't an all-inclusive list. What kindness can you do for someone? Jesus says in verse 40, "I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Want to do a kindness to Jesus? Don't go out and find somebody that deserves it, somebody that is great, somebody that you think highly of. Look for the person that can't do anything for you. The least of these. Not looking for a reward or a return. God will take care of that. He said, "When you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Stephen Grellet, an unknown missionary, died in 1855, and he would have died in obscurity except for one paragraph that he wrote that's been quoted literally thousands and thousands of times. He wrote, "I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer nor neglect, for I shall not pass this way again." Every day, we have opportunities. I can't put it off. I can't defer. I won't pass this way again. You got to take those opportunities. And oh, how God will use our obedience to be kind, to change lives. I believe that we as a church can impact this area just by being kind. It'll open doors. It'll change lives. I really do believe that. And I'll tell you this morning that I'm convicted. I hope the Holy Spirit has convicted you too, that you need to be more kind. Go out of your way, whatever it takes, to show the kindness of the Savior to somebody else. And if it helps you, just remember, you're being kind to Jesus when you do. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to